PFT Media.
Finding that rainbow connection all throughout history. It's time to check out some famous LGBTQ members of human civilization coming at you after history. And welcome to Half True History, where we take the legends of yesterday and today, put them together, and make a pretty good story out of it. I am your professor, Dan P. Running the soundboards is our super producer over at Crespediso Studios, Chris Crespo.
What's up, everyone?
And if I can say, right next, the Liberace to my Elton John, Pedro Lima.
Yes, I had that in my head. I'm like, I wonder what name he's gonna give me. Liberace would be dope.
Yeah, he was so good.
He's good. Yeah. And joining us, this is impromptu. The Walter Mercado to my Liberace, Brianna Lima.
Mucho, mucho, mucho amor.
Have you seen that documentary?
Which one? The Liberace one?
The Walter Mercado one.
Oh, what now?
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Okay.
It's on Netflix.
So okay, yeah, I'll check it out. So
now, did you saw the Liberace with Michael Douglas?
Yeah, the candelabra one, yeah.
Oh, Michael Douglas was really into that role. Boy!
I haven't seen someone into that role since Tommy Lee Jones and JFK. Well, it's that topic, of course. We're going to talk about some of our favorite genderqueers and sexual alternative people throughout history. Which is
I'm
sorry?
We're going to cover the whole alphabet.
Yeah. LGBTQ. Yes.
There's also an A.
I-A.
I-A. Yeah, intersex.
NB as well.
B is sort of, it's like, I don't know. That feels like a cop out.
NB as in androgynous, non-binary. NB.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Intersex, yeah. Asexual, pansexual.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to go through a lot of different speculations and rumors, unfortunately, throughout history, because obviously in most societies, you can't be out for many, many years.
We're going to get messy with this tea. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Even the most liberal rulers still would not allow such a thing. I mean, we talked about Genghis Khan last time. Even he had laws against homosexuality in the Mongol Empire. Mm-hmm. It was a common thing. During the Renaissance, there was an entire Italian Inquisition force to root out any sodomites in the city of Florence and Milan and anything like that. So, I mean, they had an entire gay police force, basically. What's interesting is kind of the fear of it, where at the same time, multiple sexual injustices were being done by hetero men throughout history. And, that's okay. But, yeah.
Weren't the Greek very liberal with their sexuality?
So, Most Greeks were.
I know a little bit. So certain, I think it was the Spartans, if I remember correctly. They would partner up with someone as a soldier. So they would have like some reason to fight, like not only for like their family, but like someone they had like this deep, almost romantic like connection with. So, like, that, like, really helped.
Like, to spark the fire.
Yeah.
And the thing. The cat's into this topic.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, Mr. Buttons?
Meowthro.
Meowthro?
Yeah.
You don't call him by that. You shorten it up to what?
No, her name's Cat. Matt, but we nickname her Meowthro because she attacks the Legos like in the Ninjago movie.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right, I got you. Yeah, so yeah. It's Greece, definitely. It was open. You know, we have, and of course, we have several, especially at the time. And of course, but the rumors were that he was corrupting the youth, and that was that openness was one of the charges that was brought against him, and they forced him to drink poison as a punishment.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of poison? Is it that hemlock? Yeah, baby.
It was hemlock, yep. It was hemlock, yep. Oh,
yeah, what's the deal with the hemlock?
That was like a 6 to 10 days, an instant.
Is it quick? Is it slow? Is it?
Yeah, it was fairly quick. I mean, it definitely put the holes in your stomach quick enough to end it.
Oh, damn, holes in your stomach, B?
Yeah. It messed you up. So that was the punishment, to drink hemlock.
Oh.
Yeah. And a lot of the accusations were, corrupting the young. And you get a lot of that. Anyone suspected or rumored during antiquity or the Middle Ages or any time, mm-hmm. they always go to this...
corrupt.
They always go to the fact that they were going after young boys. That was always the thing. Mm. That was always the rumors. That was always the accusations. And... you know, if that was the case, it's one of those things where it's like, not to defend them. However, most heterosexuals were marrying 12-year-old girls at the time. So I'm not sure why one gets to be okay and the other one does not.
Well, back then, the life expectancy was shorter. A 12-year-old back then is like a 24-year-old. Mm-hmm. Like, she was either you get married at 12, because at 13, hang it up.
At 14, you're a spinster.
Yeah.
I don't remember what year. In Dante's Inferno, you know how it's all like, you get put in certain levels of hell based on what you've done. And this is basically like self-insert fan fiction, because he's like a political leader, and he literally has all his political friends and rivals be like, oh, you're in hell for this reason. So he's being led by his best friend, who was always like rumored to be like a homosexual. And he's like, oh, you're going to burn in hell for corrupting the youth and being a homosexual and touching children. Meanwhile, he was going after a 12-year-old girl the entire time in and out of fiction. He made this 12-year-old girl an angel in his book and was just seeking after her.
So Dante's a pedophile?
Oh,
but
yeah.
But that just goes... Okay.
But he's like, oh, these pedophiles can burn in hell because they're gay.
If you do the pedophile, like, but in the right way, is what they're saying back then.
Yeah. Back then, again, the life expectancy. Always love when the life expectancy thing is thrown around, because it's like, the value back then, 10 cents is the equivalent of 20 bucks right now.
Yeah, that's true. It's all inflation. It's got to be careful with the road we're going down, actually, right now.
We don't want to promote pedophilia here.
That's been a weird topic.
Yeah, it's touchy in some weird ways.
I'm back.
Yeah.
And Dan's back. All right, here we go.
Dan's back.
I had to go visit a few circles of hell.
Okay.
She got up to Dante's Inferno, and then it cut out.
Yeah, she went through the whole thing, how Dante's Inferno, one of the characters is going to hell because he was hooking up with a little boy, but then the author's pursuing this 12-year-old little girl, and he said, it's okay.
Like, he was blaming him that, but he didn't do that at all. But what he was doing was real.
Now, here's the interesting thing about that love of his life in the book, Dante's Beatrice, that he followed. Yeah, it's a little off topic, but he talks about her as this great love. She met him twice at a party, and she was already married.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that 12-year-old was married already?
I think she was about 14, 16 around there, but yeah. But yeah, so basically this like girl dies early and, you know, she doesn't really have a say. So Dante writes their great love in his book. And now for all history, people think they had this great love in it, you know.
You know,
it's that nice stalker level to the max.
History's written by the victors.
Yeah. The survivors.
Yeah.
And speaking of victors, I think our most popular or the most successful of our bisexual conquerors would be Alexander the Great.
Yes.
Now, bisexual, definitely. He had wives. He had children.
He was Greek, right?
He was Macedonian, but yeah, Greek.
Macedonian, okay. He was Irish Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Farrell.
Yes.
Thank you.
Scored by Vangelis. So I remember. So yeah, but of course his closest ally, his best friend, his best and his lover, and his one of his best generals, Hephaestion, that was the real strong bond that he had.
Strong bond.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely was majorly in love with Hephaestion. They were inseparable since childhood. So you get something like that. It's at Hephaestion's death that we start to see Alexander crumble himself. He gave in to alcoholism. He was not as he was in a state of depression. And most people think that if the theory that he was poisoned is true, it was because he had let his guard down so much out of depression.
Like they were tired of his moaning and like, oh, we get it. You're depressed.
Got it. You're done.
We get it.
Mm-hmm. And how old was he? Early 30s, right, when he died?
33, the magic number for all great heroes.
There you go.
I guess you're not a hero.
It's the famous 33 number. Beowulf dies in 33, at 33. Jesus dies at 33. Caesar's stabbed 33 times.
Yeah, you either want to die at 27 or 33. Between those years, those are the death years.
I mean, yeah, you got
Jim Morrison. Hendrix is 33, right?
No, he is 27.
Kurt Cobain, 33?
27.
27.
Oh, okay. All
right. Amy Winehouse, 27.
Guess it's different for musicians.
Yes, Janis Joplin, 27. Yeah, it's different for musicians. Yeah.
Okay, so if you're a war hero or a literary hero, it's 33.
There you go. And once you get past 33, then you're just old and useless.
Yep.
Then you might as well start a podcast.
Or live long enough to say something extremely racist and then have your whole archive disappear.
There you go.
Whoops.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church, of course, is responsible for a big crackdown when we get to the Middle Ages.
What?
Right.
Tell me.
What? Hold up. But
the church.
Yeah, they're for the people.
Yeah.
For the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Head, shoulders, and toes.
It's amazing, you know? It's amazing, especially at the time there were two churches. There was the Eastern Orthodox Church. And that was controlled by the Patriarch, which is Greek for father, and the Roman Catholic Church, and that was ruled by the Pope, which is Latin for Papa, father.
Mm-hmm.
So Christianity is already starting out with two dads, and yet they are against homosexuality.
Yeah.
Ooh, take that,
Pope is banging choir boys two at a time!
What was the thing? Choir boys had to do it to like sing higher.
Oh, the
eunuchs.
Thank you.
Yeah, castration.
Castration.
That's the word.
Castrato.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't stop a couple of Crusader kings. One of the most famous romances we can confirm is England's Richard the First, Richard the Lionhearted, and his love affair with Philip the Second of France.
Oh,
isn't that in Braveheart?
No, this is a.
That's not Braveheart. I thought that.
No, that's Edward. That's Edward the First.
Okay, all those names sound the same to me.
Yeah, but Edward the son. Wasn't the son messing around? Like,
yeah, it was Edward the Second that was messing around.
Okay.
Those are still speculations. We're not exactly sure.
Speculation in a Mel Gibson movie. You know what? Right. Go on. You're right. It's fine.
Oh no! I thought that was shot in real time.
Would have been a little bit hard to do that. Because the queen was actually 8 years old when Wallace was leading his forces.
All right.
So Richard the Lionhearted, Philip Augustus, and one of the reasons why Richard the Lionhearted never has kids is like he was just deeply in love. But the problem was they broke up over politics, and that started the English-French Wars.
Wow.
It was one of the things that really tipped it off and started this long battle between the English and the French from, you know, 1200 to 1700, 1800.
That's where don't talk about religion or politics comes from.
Yeah, man. Just a bad breakup can really screw you up.
Yeah.
What becomes of the brokenhearted?
Yeah, dude. You do crazy stuff.
Like start a war.
Kicked out of college.
And the Renaissance, the two confirmed ones we have are Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo Buonarroti. So,
if I remember correctly, during the painting of of the Jesus thing, he was banging dudes in that building as he was painting. It's a power move to not only paint the Christ, the angels, but to be bat, topping it and painting. That is a power move.
Yep. Yeah, Michelangelo and Leonardo. Leonardo definitely very bisexual or even pansexual at the time. Who even knows with Leonardo? He just loved to love.
Polly.
Mm-hmm.
Polly's multiple.
Yeah, polyamorous multiple people. Yeah.
Yeah, pan is, I'll go either way.
Pan,
no
I think
matter they, what. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
There you go. Polly pan. Pan poly.
And Michelangelo, definitely, yeah, he had a lot of apprentices, if you will, you know, who helped him out with his, you know, his scaffold poles.
There's a Donatello joke in there and a Raphael.
Raphael actually was a super ladies man.
Oh, was he?
He actually dies in bed with a woman. He just he slept with so many women during his time.
S-Y-P-H-I-L-I-S. Syphilis. Straight people, they die of what? Syphilis. That's my favorite thing.
So yeah, Raphael definitely was a ladies man. He liked the ladies, but Donatello, from what we've heard of, he's very sensitive. There was always rumors that there might have been something between him and Cosimo de' Medici, but those are rumors by enemies at best. So we really don't know for sure. Yeah.
Now, was any enemy successful by spreading rumors on somebody's sexual orientation and it wasn't false, but the guy couldn't come out of it? Like Richard Gere with the hamster?
Right. There is not much. The only ones who were so obvious were monarchs, and you couldn't really do much to the monarchs.
Okay.
But everyone else hit it fairly well for its time. One of the more recent ones that we've come up to is very, very interesting because for the most part, we've looked at our queer figures in history, and for the most part, we look at Westerners. But we recently have found out through certain letters and omissions and certain transcripts and stuff that in India, the Muslim founder of the Mughal Empire, Babur the Great, was in fact bisexual.
Oh, that's problematic.
Now that one is attacked all over right now by the various conservative communities of Islam and Hinduism.
I'm just saying.
So that one is that if you bring that up, they're like, that's not true.
Yeah, it's one of those that's not true as much as the Armenian genocide is not true, though.
Oh, shit.
It's, you can say it all you want. The documentation's there. Like, we have enough sources now. We can confirm Babur was
bisexual. That's the Christian community with their fake propaganda.
And what did Babur do? What did he start?
Babur started the Mughal dynasty. It was a empire in India throughout the 15 and 1600s.
Okay.
That's the most recent you got, Dan? 1500?
Yeah, I got a whole recent.
I'm heading east.
Okay.
But speaking of the 1500s, Japan.
Oh, hi.
Yes.
Oosh.
It was quite noble in Japan for samurai and daimyo noblemen to have a boyfriend. It was customary.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And so some of our famous daimyo in history and samurai definitely had lovers of both sexes. Nobunaga Oda, who helped to unify Japan, and my favorite, Mitsuhide Musashi, the greatest swordsman in Japanese history. Musashi was also had a boyfriend. And then Ieyasu Tokugawa, who established the Tokugawa dynasty.
You got something, Ray? Brianna's holding on to something.
Yeah, go say it.
She's ready about the swordsman thing. But there was an emperor, I forgot his name, but there's like a painting of him where if you like cut your robes, it was like a sign of like distress. And like it was like very taboo. But his boyfriend was sleeping on his arm and he didn't want to wake him up. So he cut off his royal robes, and this was happening on like a daily, like a daily thing at this point. So everyone was just they painted him with like one rope cut.
So he would cut his robe so his boyfriend can feel his skin.
No, so that way he wouldn't wake him up.
Mm. Okay. Mm.
One of the confirmed ones, it was definitely a love, was not sexual though. Was not a sexual love, but definitely a love, was between the Yongle emperor of the Ming dynasty and his chief minister, Zhang He.
Would that qualify like a man crush?
It was physical up to what they could do, but Zhang He was a eunuch.
Oh, okay.
So, it could, as much as they could.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
The eunuch probably got it.
Mm-hmm. Now there's, then of course we've got 1700s, Prussia, the German king, Frederick the Great. Definitely had lots of boyfriends while playing his flute.
When the female representation of homosexuality starts popping its head,
you know, you really don't see a lot of documentation, and that's not because there weren't a lot. In general, you don't see a lot of documentation about women in history anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's really hard. You know, there was a lot of rumors that Elizabeth I might have been one. It's, you know, it's fun to think about, but they're really...
Is that the one from the movie The Favorite?
No, that wasn't The Favorite.
Okay.
No. But yeah, Elizabeth I, the Virgin Queen, everyone thought it was because she was into the ladies, and not true. She just seriously, more and more studies we are, she probably went all the way with being a virgin. Yeah. Which is to explain why she was so like stressed and hot-tempered all the time. But yeah, you had Frederick the Great, Frederick II, probably one of Prussia's greatest kings, one of Germany's greatest kings, wins the Seven Years' War. Totally restructures Prussia to become what will be modern Germany. So there we have another example. They're out there, making headlines, if you will. And I'm trying to remember. I don't want to forget anyone. Don't want to forget anyone, of course. There were rumors that Shakespeare was, but again, those are still rumors. We can't confirm those.
That was the worst play review ever. That was the worst. This guy is gay.
Dudes.
You only got dudes playing girls.
What?
That's gay. This guy's gay.
Yeah, so that one. Another popular rumor is the Muslim poet Rumi. And that's because he would write letters to men, and the beginning would be, "My beloved."
Okay.
However, the argument is that there's a translation problem, and that was a common greeting at the time. It's still a lot of work to figure that one out, but it's there.
Yeah, like dear Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Dearest. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
My beloved. I can give you
a Billie Jean King. We got it.
Florence Nightingale.
Yep,
the woman that created modern medicine. Straight up lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even have it.
And of course, thanks to HBO, now everybody knows the name of Ann Lister, who was a famous industrialist, coal mining industrialist. And through her diaries, we now know that she had an open affair with another lady in England, in Yorkshire.
And why is that from HBO? I missed that one.
Gentleman Jack, the show.
I didn't see that show.
It's great.
Oh, I got
you. Should check it out. It's fun.
I didn't even bother with it. It was weird. Because it was the girl from Game of Thrones, and Game of Thrones wasn't finished yet. So you got to give me a buffer so I can distinguish the characters.
you didn't like the Greyjoy being the sister?
Yeah. Like, I liked the Greyjoy being the Greyjoy, but all of a sudden you're going to put a top hat on her and you want me right. to, yeah, no, I'm good.
It is a good series, though. If you want to get out of the mindset of the Greyjoy, it is a very good series to watch. It's very, like, you know, it's kind of in the caliber of that, of like Downton Abbey or Carnival Row. So no, if you like those, if you like those noble British dramas, that's where you're at. So I mean, we start to see more and more as the industrial age comes. You know, it's still not welcomed, but we start to see people more out, or it being more obvious than it was in the antiquity days and the medieval days and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we could definitely surmise that it usually happened the most among the noble classes, is where you saw the most open.
They were bored.
Yeah, they were bored. They could get away with it. Louis the 14th, his brother, was well known for sleeping with noblemen all over the place, and Louis basically made sure that the laws did not affect his brother.
Like a power move.
Yeah, it didn't matter. So it's what I like about a lot of these members of history is that the ones that we have confirmed is you see a lot of them are really great administrators and conquerors. Like, it's not all just artists and what we think of as a stereotype for someone who... Yeah.
Well, most of them are political figures.
Right. So we're looking at, like, a guy who was undefeated in battle, a man who, you know, brought Islam to India and created one of the greatest empires around, the man who won the Seven Years' War. We're looking at some really, really great... Richard the Lionheart, considered one of the greatest crusader commanders. You know, and pretty much every samurai daimyo.
At least for me, now that you're saying that, And again, you love what you love and stuff like that, but then it's like a power kind of like trip kind of deal. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like the forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
Dominance or whatever, because they weren't the ones in history, like the ones you're speaking of, they weren't the domicile one. They were like...
Well, because they had...
You know what I mean?
And also another thing to consider, it might have been just because of the stigmata associated with that sexual preference, they might have been overcompensating and therefore really did push themselves to be the best and ended up at that point. So a lot of what ifs on that. We're trying to find as much as possible as we go through the diaries again, and we're picking them up now because we're specifically looking for them. And that's not to say that we're creating the case, but it's just, it never even entered historians' minds when they were writing books in the 19th century and early 20th century.
Correct. Look at and it you get way. People know, it's like, oh, you're just trying to force feed it. It's like, no, it was oppressed for so long.
Exactly.
That it's finally, it's out in the open. So let history be known. And, you know, I think history will show that Mike Pence.
Absolutely.
Those conversion camps are just a front.
Yeah.
They're just a front.
Oh, I mean, he's got every movie stereotype going for him, doesn't he?
Yeah, I know.
All the way down to the beady eyes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trump is the Mr. Burns. Yeah. Trump makes Mr. Burns be likable.
Burns has like actual success. He never declared bankruptcy.
True.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that nuclear power plant never went bankrupt.
Yeah, I think it's profitable.
So we are only, like I said, we're only scratching the surface. Those are the only ones mostly we can confirm. And again, there are a bunch others to talk about. But
we covered the G's and the B's.
I didn't want to mention too many of the 19th and 20th century figures because it's easier to bring those up. I wanted to show a huge arc in history.
Okay, but like...
That's where we are there.
I love the fact that like, even in like the... Damn it. What was this years?
You dropped the bug?
What did you do?
It's one of those
beetle
bugs.
Oh, gross.
Potato bug.
So he was in office between 1857 and 1861.
Who's this?
James Buchanan.
He was gay?
He was the gay president.
The bachelor president.
Yeah.
As he was called.
Oh, okay.
He would send letters. Dude, he wouldn't even try to hide it. He's like, I love you. Message me back. Bye. By pigeon. Go.
Mm-hmm. By pigeon. Go. The White House is just shooting pigeons in the front. Down. Don't let those messages out.
Yeah. And another thing is also is another reason why we don't pick up on these guys until a little bit later is that media stereotype of queer makes us automatically target the more artistic and feminine people in history. So you totally miss the conquerors.
Yeah.
You don't even look at the tough swordsman because you don't think it that is, but lo and behold, usually it is.
Yeah, but also, I mean, how hilarious are the, you know what I mean? Like back then, like, hey, it's like, yo, I don't care what, it's hilarious. from back then, you know, it's hard, but you know who tapped into it? If you watch Mel Brooks' History of the World Part 1,
right,
like one of the brutes kind of thing was like,
oh yeah,
he would hint on it kind of thing, and be like, oh okay,
yeah, and you know, there's also the Caesars of Rome, but that's a lot of things in that pot though. That's incest. That's that's everything else in there too.
Let's talk about Caligula.
Yeah. Yeah. The Caesars, we don't really want to touch that pot. That's just all the sex.
Stop kissing your brother. You're going to end up with 3 eyes, 40 legs.
I mean, one made his horse the high priest. So, you know.
Oh shit. We bestiality. We're talking about it here.
Who knows with those guys? Who the Caesars were nuts. The House of Julian was nuts.
What you got in there? Yo, let's talk one day about the House of Julian.
Sure, we'll talk about the Julians.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson and his family has tested positive for the Rona.
You know,
honestly, I might switch sides.
You know, switch sides.
Yeah, so I was on like, let's get rid of COVID. I don't know. COVID seems to be winning, and I don't want to be a loser.
So,
I'm not.
So now you think people are just getting it for
kicks?
For kick, yeah. Like now, I want it. It feels like a Nintendo Switch.
I don't know. I want to suffer.
It's like, come on, everybody got it. I want one.
Yeah. Well, I think our rainbow is fading a little bit here.
Wow.
Harvey Milk. What's the deal with Harvey Milk? I wanted to ask
Harvey
about.
Milk, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. First openly gay mayor.
That's what it, okay, so that's what it was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Harvey Milk definitely.
Was I don't watch Sean Penn movies.
That's fair. That's fair.
Okay.
All right. You don't support El Chapo?
I haven't not I'm trying to think what Sean Penn movie I've seen.
Best Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, but that was it a Sean Penn-driven movie, or was it like a...
No, that's an ensemble.
Yeah, right? So I'm thinking about like a Sean Penn movie. Other than... what's the one that he goes to prison?
Dead Man Walking?
Juvenile? No. This is Wade. This is an 80s movie. Is it Bad Boys?
Bad Boys.
Yeah, with La Bamba's brother.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting at that age. I'm at my father's age that I don't know the actor's name, but I'll address him by the character.
Yes. Love it.
I can't wait till you start getting a speech impediment.
Oh my God, I'm going to be forgetting stuff. I'm going to have to like mainline Ginkgo biloba or something.
Well, that's it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to Half True History to get your little fill. We will hopefully one day be back in the studio because I promised Pedro a part two and I don't want to do it until we're in studio.
Yes.
There's Save a certain that. Part two that I have to do, but it's going to be in studio.
I'll order the hazmat suits, Crespo.
Get the moon suits ready.
We'll show up there like with moon suits.
Mm-hmm.
50-foot mic cables.
Got that Walter White cosplay going on.
There you go.
So please follow Half True History and all of the PFT Media shows out there that are still going strong, trying to entertain you during this enjoyable viral season.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
We're making that turn, baby.
For Chris Crespo, Pedro Lima, and myself, this has been Half True History, and we'll see you on the next page.
Wear your goddamn mask.
Or don't. Survival of the fittest. Consider it a challenge before the whole human race.
A PFT Media production.